Welcome in, Iowa Hawkeye fans, to another episode of the Hawkeye Tailgate Report. I am Luke Myers. We have Joey and Sten, like always. Another successful week for basically all Iowa programs, aside from RIP in peace to our number one team, the field hockey team. They lost in the Elite Eight, so tragic there.
I was wondering, I figured since I hadn't heard anything from that they had lost, but I had never confirmed. It was sad. Mad respect to those ladies. That game they must have, Friday, I think, had to be awful conditions to play.
Yeah, and I mean, outside of like the wrestling program, they're like over the last half decade the most consistently great program at the University of Iowa. So yeah, they deserve all the respect, but they lost to Northwestern twice in like their final four games, and that ultimately ended their season. So, and there's our field hockey talk for this podcast. Good job, everybody. So do you guys remember much from the game?
Yeah.
The
biggest thing that I remember is that our run defense was atrocious for most of the game.
Ooh, yeah, that brings up a spicy take I have. Are you ready to hear it?
Oh, boy.
I thought this during the game. So, we, as fans, treated Phil Parker like Jesus. And I'm not saying he's not good, because he is. But I would say he's not. He capitalizes on very good players and talent around him, and he isn't as good as we think he is. Does that make sense? Like, think of look at the Purdue game.
So what you basically just said is he takes advantage of the talent that he has on his roster to make his defense like top 20 every year, but you're also saying that he's not very good because he takes advantage of the talent that he has to create a top 20 defense.
My train of thought is that the defense bails him out. When, like, there was two games so far this year you can point at and be like, there was blatantly obvious shit you could have done and it would have changed what happened throughout the game. David Bell at Purdue, you could have figured that out. And I don't know how we give up 140 yards in one half of rushing to Minnesota.
I mean, I'm just not going to follow you on that take even a little bit, because it's year in and year out, like, Iowa's defense is consistently, like, top 20 national level. So you can't use the excuse that the defense bails him out if it's been at the same type of production for, like, the better part of the last decade.
And also, it's not like these guys are, like, big stud recruits coming in
right,
either. So I think the fact that they're, even if they are able to, what you're saying, bail out Phil Parker from time to time, it's because of the coaching that he's done.
Yeah, arguably the best guy on our defensive line this year was a Division II grad transfer. Like, it's not like Iowa is known as a developmental program. We're taking 2 and 3 stars and turning them into the players that they are. It's not like we're Ohio State or, you know, Alabama and we have 5 stars all over our defense. I think, if anything, it speaks more to the fact of how good of a coach he is.
Do us all a favor. Put that take in a bag. Grab a shovel. Go out behind the house, dig a hole, and bury that fucker.
Burn it, then bury it.
I'm not going to lie. I talked to somebody after the game that we know on Saturday night, and he agreed with me. Granted, he sounded a little drunk. But you're making it sound like they're showing up with scrubs out there, a couple of guys that look like us, and they make them into NFL talent. That's just not the case, especially anymore.
It's a give and take with the whole entire program, really. But
Luke,
also,
you literally just said that he's not good at his job, but his
hold up. I said I prefaced this whole argument by saying I'm not saying he's bad at his job.
But then you literally said, but his players bail him out on a consistent basis. You can't have it both ways. The reason that maybe his players bail him out is because he puts them in good positions consistently. So I'm not going to hear the fucking take that he's getting lucky in that his defense makes good plays at opportune times only because, like, they're bailing him out. It's been like this for a decade under his leadership on the defensive side of the ball.
Also, flashback to a mere 2 weeks ago when I was putting just a portion of the onus on the defense for losing the game, and you guys just shit down my throat.
Hold up. I didn't shit down your throat. I'm on that record. I've been slightly critical of the defense since the Purdue game.
That's fair. It's fair to be a little critical of them. I agree because I have been on that hill.
I think Sten was the one shitting down your throat.
Yeah.
I said that I'm not going to blame that Wisconsin loss on the defense because the offense put them in such absolute dog shit positions the entire day that the fact that they only gave up 28, I think, was a win on their part. I'm not saying that they're like this, like, godly, untouchable unit that's devoid of criticism. Like, that Matt Hankins touchdown that he got absolutely cooked on towards the end of that Minnesota game that gave him a breath of fresh air was terrible. But in that Wisconsin game specifically, we had, like, 4 minutes of possession in the entire first half. We turned it over inside our 20-yard line 3 times. Our offense lost us that game, not the defense. That's more what I was trying to get to when we were talking about it that week, not that the defense does not ever deserve any criticism.
All right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about from Minnesota? I mean, good. We ran the ball pretty well in the first half, but then we kind of stopped. That was weird.
Couple things. The first touchdown Minnesota scored should have gotten a harder look. I believe that was a fumble. They showed it. So on TV, they did it stupid. They had both angles, but they never showed the angles side by side because it looked like when Hankins first made contact with the punch, the ball came out. And from the other angle, it looked like when he first made contact, the ball was not across the line, but they failed to put them together. And also that review was just very fast by the refs. I think that could have came back. And also, whether he's making completions or not, Alex Padilla is leaps and bounds more entertaining to watch than Spencer Petras.
Yeah, I have comments on both of those things. The first part is that tight end for Minnesota has the most disgusting haircut in the history of the world. That thing deserves to be burned and buried and never seen again. I think that it made little children cry, probably. It was hideous. It made my stomach churn just thinking about it now. So fuck that guy. And Iowa's defense offense has such a different dynamic with Alex Padilla as the quarterback. And, like, his stats were not great, and he got lucky that Minnesota probably dropped at least one interception. But we can do things schematically with him as the quarterback that we simply do not have in the playbook with Petras under center. Like, he was rolling out, like, play action stuff, like bootleg runs, like throwing on the run, stuff like that that we don't even entertain the thought of when Petras is the quarterback. So while his stat line might not have been great at the end of the day, I think you'd be pretty hard-pressed to find an Iowa fan out there that does not want to see him continue to be the quarterback for the rest of this season and then moving forward. Because like Joey said, it was straight up just more entertaining to watch him play the quarterback position than it was to watch Spencer Petras.
I will say, I felt like Brian did call a completely different game than he has all year.
Because he's a different type of quarterback. He can actually do something with his legs. For Spencer Petras, it's if he's in shotgun, you take the snap, look at your first read, and then either get sacked or throw it away. Because that's all that he's athletic enough to do. Padilla can actually extend the play with his legs, works through his progression a little bit more, it seems like, and then like can avoid pressure if he has to. And he still made smart decisions with throwing the ball away when he had to, and there were a couple drops that, you know, that went against him, and that's kind of the fault of our offense. But, like, the fact of the matter is, that was his very first career start. He didn't turn the ball over, and he put us in a position to win the game, which we did. So, I mean, we've given Petras almost 2 full seasons worth of, oh, well, he's a new starter, oh, he's learning the system, oh, there was COVID, oh, there was this, there was that. And it took us, you know, until this point to move on to Padilla. So obviously he's going to get a little bit of wiggle room in here, but I think that he looked better. Maybe not necessarily better, but certainly more exciting to watch. And I think that our offense has a higher ceiling with him as the quarterback than with Petras.
So today during Brian Ferentz's press conference, he says Petras has looked good in practice this week and they will decide on a starter this afternoon for this week. Oh my God, you want to see the world implode? Iowa fans are going to be so pissed if they come out and say Spencer Petras is their starting quarterback for this Saturday.
There is just no way.
I don't see how they could make that decision.
I feel like he said that just to keep Illinois on edge more than anything, I hope.
Yeah, I think he did. Like, he had a quote a little bit after that that said, I don't remember the exact wording of it, but it more or less, he's like, it's kind of nice to keep the other team, like, in the dark about who our quarterback is going to be. Yeah, that was the gist of it. It's not what he said, but
that part makes sense. But, yeah. Also, him saying Twitter isn't real life. Oh, man. Hop on these Twitter streets and you'll get bullied straight down.
Real life also isn't the fantasy land that he lives in which he believes that he's a good offensive coordinator.
Where he gets paid $850,000 a year to call a Helen Keller offense.
To coach the 123rd ranked offense nationally.
Yeah, shout out, Brian. Keep on keeping on, buddy. Basically the only other thing I can think of from the Minnesota game is Keegan Johnson. How many years are we going to get with him? Because I have a feeling it's not going to be much.
I don't know. NIL, my team wrong.
He's a true freshman this year. So, like, because of the NFL's rules about draft eligibility, he literally can't leave before, like, two more full seasons with the program.
Yeah.
So we have, at minimum, two more years with him. So, I mean,
because that touchdown late in the game, I literally thought he was down, so I looked away, and then all of a sudden I hear the crowd cheering, and I look up, I'm like, who is the ball? And I thought he maybe had lateraled it to the wide receiver who was behind him. That was just an absolutely insane play. And like,
it was fun. So right before that touchdown catch and run, there was also a Goodson run that was kind of like the same thing, dead on arrival, like wasn't blocked properly. And then Goodson made a play and had, like, a good positive gain. And me and Joey and Matthew were watching it back at our house. And there had been a couple times in the game where, like, it looked like the run was just dead. And then Goodson made a play. And I'm like, what the hell are we even doing that for? A comment, something like that. And then both times, like, Goodson made something out of it. And Joey and Matthew were giving me shit. And then on the very next play, Keegan Johnson had that touchdown. And Joey was like, what the hell was that play? And then it turned into a touchdown. So maybe Iowa's best offense is just running a play that looks like it's going to go for, like, -5 yards, and then they turn it into something.
Well, yeah, the Keegan Johnson touchdown was one of those plays that makes absolutely zero sense, where you have two receivers on the outside. One of them's catching a screen pass, but there's also two defenders. So the wide receiver's obviously only going to get one block. So that's... Yeah. That's like the most frustrating play to see, I think. But hey, Keegan is an absolute badass and found the end zone. So yeah.
If I'm a Minnesota fan watching that that play at home, my remote's going through the TV.
Yeah, that would be super, super disappointing. But any other final notes? Floyd hasn't been back to Minnesota hasn't won in Kinnick since 1999, right?
Yep, something like that.
Yep.
And Minnesota hasn't had Floyd back since 2014, so another rivalry trophy staying home.
It's probably another couple things we could talk about, or at least one more. Iowa had their longest passing play in, like, three seasons on that 72-yard touchdown to Charlie Jones that was put absolutely on the goddamn money by Padilla. Like, that was such a perfect pass and catch. Like, that's how you – when you dial up that shot, like, that's how you imagine it turning out. That was absolute perfection.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I knew Marvin McNutt had one longer than that, but I couldn't tell you. Did they mention who the wide receiver was who caught the last one?
I think it was Tyrone Tracy, actually.
Wisconsin?
Against Wisconsin in 2018, he had like a 85-yarder or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that one. And then Jonathan, we didn't pack the box, and Jonathan Taylor got a first down on the next drive, so that was basically that game. We always find our way back to heartbreak.
That's because that's just like one of the biggest parts of being an Iowa fan. Just heartbreak.
The build-up.
Not living up to expectations.
The expectations, and then bam. Kick right in the pecker to bring you down. So I think we'll move on to basketball now. Or actually, I do have one football note. What's up with all these seniors saying, I'm not going to go through senior day festivities because I have not made up my mind yet?
I think that the only person that specifically said that they're not going through senior day festivities is Linderbaum, who is just he's a redshirt junior. So technically, like, he's not supposed to be part of senior day. Everybody kind of expects that he's going to leave.
He's coming back, baby.
But like all the rest of like just the normal seniors on the team are listed for like the senior day stuff. I think the only other person that's actually a senior that said something along those lines was Riley Moss. But
I saw Charlie Jones too.
Which, I can see that because I just don't foresee Charlie Jones having a professional career.
Yeah, Moss, Charlie Jones, and Linderbaum are the only ones right now that I've seen.
Linderbaum isn't a senior, so technically, like, he's not supposed to be part of the senior day stuff.
Yeah. I hope they just don't tickle our balls just to have them leave, because I would absolutely welcome all three of those guys back with open arms.
It'd be great for Linderbaum to come back, but he absolutely should leave and get the bag when he can, because football is one of those sports where all it takes is one injury and your career is over. He's got the chance to make, you know, millions of dollars within the next couple of months here. So we love him. It'd be great for him to come back. He 100% absolutely should turn pro and go get drafted, because he's going to go in the first round and he'll make millions of dollars.
He's going to go top 10. He'll go top 10. Wouldn't be mad if the Vikings drafted him either if he fell a little bit. But now we get to basketball here.
Not going to talk any Illinois preview or anything?
Do you want to talk Illinois?
Pretty much all you got to know is that we should beat him and Bielema has COVID.
Yeah, he's
thoughts
got,
and prayers.
He's got the cocoa.
Also, I want to give a quick thoughts and prayers out to Trent Betts at Primetime Sports, because he also has COVID at the time.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast. Hey,
get a couple Lee Bryce combos that'll get you going.
Yeah. It's a just start winning all your bets. That'll make you feel a lot better.
Illinois, they run the ball a lot. Their quarterbacks are terrible. They have beaten Penn State in the wild 9 overtime game, and
they beat Nebraska in the first game of the year. That was funny.
Yeah, and who did they beat a couple weeks ago?
Did they?
They beat Minnesota.
They beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think Brett Bielema can turn him around a little bit, which he's showing. I think they still have a chance at bowl eligibility if they win out, too.
Do they? I don't know.
Not!
Bielema understands how to win in the Big Ten, so I'm sure under his leadership that they probably will be a respectable team, because, I mean, Bielema knows what it takes in this conference. So, I mean, obviously they've got a bunch of not great – they don't have a great roster this year, so I don't expect them to beat Iowa, and especially with Brett not being there. But I wouldn't be surprised, like, 3-4 years down the road – if Illinois is like a decent team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I could see them getting back into not contention, but competitiveness, something they've lacked for a very, very long time. What's the spread?
Pretty much the entire Lovie Smith era.
Right now, it's Iowa minus 12.5 and over under 38.5. I'd consider that over.
38.5 is such a low number.
Last week was 37.5, and
it went over
47, I think, was the over. All right, now we ready for basketball?
I have one other football-related comment. It's not specifically about Iowa football, though. I'm sure you guys have both seen this because it's the epitome of schadenfreude. Matt Campbell saying that it was never his goal to win the Big 12, but to just have the closest team that he could possibly have is laugh-out-loud hilarious when you consider that Iowa State fans legitimately thought that they were going to be competing not just for a Big 12 championship this year, but for a national championship, and now they're 6-4 and are not ranked. For him to come out and say that that's not even one of his goals at the start of the season is so goddamn funny.
I equate that to a more egregious version of what Kirk said after last week, that they're not trying to score on first and second down.
Yeah, but it's like he didn't say, oh, we weren't trying to win. Like, Matt Campbell basically said, I don't understand how you can – I don't care if you're fucking Kansas. It doesn't make a difference. If your football team, if one of your goals for the season is not win the conference, how is that not one of your team goals? It doesn't matter how bad you realistically expect your team is going to be. You have to think going into that every season, we are trying to win the league championship every year.
Yeah.
And for him to just say that was not one of his goals is so goddamn funny to me. And I like, how can you be a prospective Iowa State, like, you know, recruit and hear their head coach say that it was not his goal to try and win the Big 12 this year and then think that seems like a place that I'd want to go play football?
Yeah, that is stupid. And I would bet if you went back to some interviews from this summer, he certainly said that he wants to win the Big 12 at one point or another.
Yeah, because you should. That's the whole point.
That's why you play sports.
Yeah. Yeah, so that just – it cracked me up, and then I saw, you know – so, as Iowa and Iowa State fans will do online, they start chirping each other at any opportunity. So, you know, he said that, and then Iowa fans started saying, oh, you know, why would you want to play there? That's stupid or whatever. And then some Iowa State fans were like, oh, how would you like to go and play for Iowa with the 123rd ranked offense? First of all, we still fucking beat you this year. So, you
we're
can't
still
chirp back about,
we're still
about
8-2.
Stuff like that. Yeah, so, I don't know. That's a... that, you know, Twitter beef, you know, just beef between Iowa and Iowa State fans never going to go away. But I think that it's, I don't know, that whole situation is just hilarious to me.
One other Iowa State note. Them losing on a 62-yard field goal was art. As time expired, yeah. That was about as pretty as it could get.
That's about as miserable of a way as you can lose a college football
game. Oh, my God. In college football especially, like, honestly, even if that happens in the NFL, like, your team will lose on a 60-plus yard field goal in the NFL once every decade, maybe. The fact that it happened in a college football game against Iowa State is just chef's kiss. Like, that is glorious.
And it wasn't to a power team. It was to Texas Tech. So
there... Did Texas Tech fire their coach in the middle of this season?
Yes, I believe so. Stuff's real together there. All right, now we will get to basketball. We are going to get to basketball. So last Friday night, the men beat UMKC. A slowish first half, but they put the pedal down in the second half and won by 30, right? Something like that. It was whooping.
It was many.
And there wasn't really much to see there. Keegan had 25 points or something like that. What are we going to call Rebracha?
It's Rebracha.
Yeah, see, I think we should call him Reba.
That's awful.
If we can't do K2M2 for the Murrays, we're not fucking doing Reba.
You think people are going to correlate?
We're not referring to our center as a redheaded female country singer.
I know a guy named Reba.
Is that his real name?
I don't know. Ask Mark Zelaznik. You want to call him up?
I doubt it.
But
we're not calling him that. That's final. 2-1. You've lost.
What are we going to call him then?
Rebracha.
Because
that's
name. Rebracha.
Or Phil.
Is it
what
Philippe?
What country is he from? We can probably think of something funny with that.
What?
I said, what country is he from?
America, oh, baby.
If he's from, like, maybe we can call him, like, the Slovenian Hammer or something like that, if that's where he's from.
That would be good. I'd like that a lot. His name starts with an F, right?
I think so. Honestly, that name would work for pretty much any, like, Eastern European country.
He's born in Italy.
What? You shitting me?
The Italian...
Meet the bull.
The Italian assassin? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. We can think of something.
Reconvene next week on that one.
We'll put our minds together over this next week and then come together with our best options.
All right, so he had a good game last Friday against UMKC as well. This is kind of the performance you can expect from our non-conference games this year. And then we play Tuesday night, against North Carolina Central, thinking it would be the same outcome, and boy, would you be wrong. At halftime, Iowa was up 49-44, and at one point in the second half, I believe it was tied at 51s before Iowa did pull away and win by 17, 86, 96. Or 86, 69. Nice. Everything that... The first half, it was like all of Fran's weaknesses that we know and love came to play. The defense was bad. There was a stretch offensively where we were just absolutely terrible. We started the second...
Not all of them. Free throw shooting was good. Free throw shooting was really good.
Free throw shooting good again. But we started the second half like 1 of 50 or 3 of 15 or something like that. 3 of 17. It
was actually funny. I saw... So apparently nobody in the Iowa media knew exactly how many shots had been taken in the second half at that point in time, because I saw like a Twitter feed and it was all three tweets from one was from David Eicholt, one was from Leistikow, and the other one was from
Kennington Lloyd.
Yeah, all of them within like 45 seconds of each other referring to the second half start shooting. And they all had a different, like, number of shots that we'd taken. One said 15, one said 16, one said 17. So we were so bad at shooting to start the second half that we didn't even know how many shots that we had missed. It's pretty funny.
Well, it's easy to forget when J-Bo's jacking up threes left and right and just breaking them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them, like, wide-open shots, too.
Yeah.
He did have the one that went halfway down.
Did it drive you guys nuts that the Big Ten always had the...
Yes.
They had the Jordan Bohannon three-point tracker right on top of the ticker at the bottom?
Yeah. Well, their score bug this year is god-awful.
It takes up a third of the screen to begin with. By the time you threw that on top, you couldn't see the bottom third of the court.
Yeah. I don't know who decided that that was, like, good. They're like, does it take up almost one-third of the screen? Yes, let's run with it.
But other notes from the game, Keegan Murray had one of the best games I've ever seen from an Iowa player. 27 points, 21 rebounds, 9 of those offensive, 2 assists, 4 blocks on 9 of 19 shooting and 9 of 10 at the free throw line. So, absolute fucking star that kid is. My second honorable mention there would go to Tony Perkins. He played absolutely great last night.
Yeah, it was we went like in kind of like halfway through that second half, a little bit less than halfway through. It was probably around like the 15-minute mark in the second half. Fran had finally had enough of like our just piss poor defense, and he went with pretty much a completely defensive first lineup, throwing in Tony Perkins and Aaron Ulis, who played essentially the rest of the game moving forward. And from that point on, our defense was a lot better. I especially think that Perkins and Ulis were significantly better at preventing that dribble off-ball, like, dribble penetration into the lane, which they just absolutely murdered us on in the first half. And then they both actually had... Ulis didn't have a great shooting night. He ended up getting to the free throw line like 8 or 9 times, so he got points that way. But Tony Perkins was 2 for 2 on threes, and he'd only attempted like 5 his entire college career before that. I think he was like maybe – I don't know if he was 4 for 4 or like 4 for 5 from the floor, but like he was efficient. His defense was great. His energy was great. So Yeah, I think that we have a lot better like defensive athletic options this year than we did last year. Like obviously we know what Bohannon's shortcomings are on the defensive end, but we have a lot more athleticism to kind of cover for that, especially in like replacement role this season than we did in years past.
Also, Connor McCaffrey played pretty well. I thought he's never going to score, but he does a bunch of the stuff that he's a glue guy, you know. I hate that phrase so much, but he played good last night. He ran a good point and he played good defense. So
yeah, no. Hey, Dennis Rodman made a career out of like not being a scorer but doing other things well. Like you don't have to score points all the time in order to be a quality contributor to a basketball team, and that's pretty much what Connor McCaffrey is. He'll like defense good, rebounding, assist, like good, like you can affect a game positively without scoring, and as long as he kind of understands and accepts that role, he can be a perfectly valuable player to us this year without having to score 10 points a night.
He had one shot attempt in 21 minutes of game time. That's kind of nuts to see. But then Phillip only had two field goal attempts in 24 minutes. So, but yeah, Iowa wins again, 86-69. We got Alabama State tomorrow night, or by the time you're listening to this, probably tonight, right?
I have no idea. I don't really pay that close of attention to who our non-conference opponents are, especially this season, because they're all pretty much dog shit.
I will say I'm getting pretty sick and tired of the negative Iowa fans already. I forgot how much they suck when it comes to basketball season.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's early. I texted you guys like in the chat because especially during that first half, I was just like watching this makes my eyes want to bleed. But that was just because they at that point in time, they were playing like shit. But and the thing is, we know that our like the Iowa team is going to have nights like this season. They're not great, but they're not horrible. So they're going to win some games that they shouldn't. They're going to lose some games that they shouldn't. We're going to have ups and downs, and we're going to try and struggle to probably find our footing along the way there. So I think that it was good for the team to play poorly like they did, but still come out with a pretty easy victory at the end of the day. But I think fans are going to need to kind of like keep clearer minds this year than other years, perhaps, because like this is just a kind of untested team and there are just going to be nights where we don't have it. And you're just going to have to accept that and move forward and just kind of enjoy the ride as it's happening.
Yeah. I don't know. It will be fun to watch pretty much every game this year because we do have all the athletic talent. I mean, as much as I can ever remember on an Iowa team, I don't think I've ever seen this much athletic talent. But yeah, Hawks are 3-0. We never bitch about wins. And I mean, you look at Illinois. They lost to Marquette the other night. Michigan lost to Seton Hall. Nebraska is 1-2, which is hilarious. So yeah.
Who else in the Big Ten lost? Wisconsin lost to Providence also.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. I forgot about that one. And Brad Davidson's and still a cheater.
Yeah, he already had a classic, I'm going to pin a guy's arm to my chest, throw him forward, and then draw an offensive foul bullshit. So fuck that guy.
All right. Any other basketball notes here? We have three more games before we get to the stretch where it's Virginia, Illinois, and Purdue back to back to back. So hopefully we can just keep racking up these wins and roll into conference or the first part of conference play with a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. We'll move on then. We're going to hit an ad from our sponsor before we get to our draft of our favorite Pixar characters. Rolling Hills Heritage Pork out of Farley, Iowa. Wes Henderson. His phone number is 319-461-5520. Floyd of Rosedale's hanging out in Iowa City. Tailgating season's almost done, but that doesn't mean you can't stock up for the winter on some quality pork. ham steaks, pork chops, bone-in pork chops, bacon, brats, whatever your heart desires. He's the man for you. He can get you a nice hog, aside from the ones Austin tends to pick up at the bars. I'm just kidding, Stin.
That was demeaning to women.
Talk about a fucking ricochet shot.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not.
The phone number for Wes Henderson is 319-461-5520. That's Wes Henderson, Rolling Hills Heritage Pork. Alrighty. So, as I mentioned, we're doing a draft of our favorite Pixar characters. I believe I went first last week.
You sure?
Yeah. Wait, let me see.
I went last week, I think.
I went first. No, I didn't mention... Joey went last, and Stin went second. So
Stin's going first. I'll go last. Or no, you go last this time.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we doing three or four?
I would say three, but whatever.
We can do. I could get four in, probably.
All right. Let's do four. Let's give her a go. Fuck. With the first pick.
I literally looked at a list. There's over 600 Pixar characters.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know that I want the pressure of being the number one overall pick here.
Too bad.
I know. Okay.
Yet again, Austin has put no prior thought into this.
I have.
He doesn't want to say Mrs. Incredible.
Well, let's stop throwing around names.
Yeah, Jesus, Luke. We haven't had one pick off the board, and Luke's already shouting out answers from the crowd.
Are you going to pick?
Yeah. Give me Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz?
Amazing.
Good
pick.
The
most generic pick you could have.
Hey, new it's Buzz a good or pick. Buzz? Good pick.
Tim Allen Buzz, obviously.
New Buzz looks creepy.
Not turn off body cam Buzz.
All right, yeah. Joey.
Nope, no justification for that.
I mean, he's just a great character. I don't know.
Okay.
You literally said earlier today, like, half your picks were going to be Toy Story, and then you shit on me for choosing Buzz Lightyear.
I didn't say they were going to be main characters. All right, I'm going with Mrs. Incredible.
Why, Joey?
She's got that Tonka truck caboose. She's very flexible.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Blew up my spot.
She was on my list, but I didn't think that Joey was going to go picking her in the first round. So,
are you kidding me? Look at her dumpy, Austin. Things of wagon.
No, don't get me wrong. My justification was similar. I just didn't realize that we were gonna bonk ourselves this early into the draft.
Bonk. Hey, yeah, you can't go wrong. Absolute wagon. That thing hauled on the Oregon Trail, not the Heritage Trail. Okay. I am going to go with Russell from Up. I mean,
good character.
You may be also only chosen because you strike a passing resemblance to him.
I pulled off a mean Russell my senior year of college for Halloween. I hate Halloween, but I did it that year. I went all out. I am going to take Crush from Finding Nemo.
Oh, he was on my list.
The turtle? Yeah, the old turtle.
Yeah.
That's a solid pick.
He's
good,
yeah. Dude.
Noggin. Dude.
He's a real bro. Definitely dabbled with a little sea lettuce back in the day. So, yeah.
Same movie, but unrelated to what we're doing. If we're talking about worst Pixar characters, I feel like you gotta add Merlin on that list, because I mean, what just an irresponsible father he was.
Let all of his kids get killed from one.
And he had one and he let it get fucking captured.
And it's handicapped.
Really, yeah. And what did he do to save Nemo? Nothing. Nemo did all that shit by himself. So Merlin is an absolute liability as a father. Child Protective Services should have been at his fucking anemone like yesterday.
Yeah. He was dog shit.
He was bad. All right, Joey.
All right, I'm going with Bo Peep. Because she got Jesus, that slim Joey waist and Thick in the hips.
Bonk, bonk, bonk. Go to horny jail.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
And I respect Woody's taste in women, so.
I was more of a Jesse fan. All right, Stan.
Good Lord. Okay. This is one that I'm certain that neither of you have on your list.
I'm sure.
We're going to go with Moana. She's a badass bitch.
Never seen it.
Nope, me either.
It's true. She literally saved, like, the whole, you could say her island, the whole kind of world, essentially. But anyway, she had to leave her home, set off to sail across the entire goddamn ocean to save her entire, like, tribe, essentially. Fucking.
Moana is not Pixar.
Yes, she is.
No, she's not.
Can we get a review here?
I Googled it because I didn't think she was.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure. No, Pixar was not involved in the making of the animated movie Moana. Walt Disney Pictures.
Huh.
And the animation studios.
Man, it's right. Been terrible.
We'll have to take that one off the list then.
Ooh. Good catch by me. I would hate for the integrity of the
How did
draft.
You know that that wasn't Pixar?
Joey literally just said that he Googled it.
Well, no, I thought it wasn't. So
yeah,
I
mean,
checked.
You've never seen the movie, have you?
Nope.
Okay. Sin, what's your pick? You have two.
All right. Yeah, we're going to transition. We're going to go with Doug, the dog.
Damn it.
From Up.
Oh. Yeah, that was a good one.
He's just a great, lovable character. A little bit stupid, but, you know, he's great. How can you hate him?
Oh, yeah. And solid then, dog. Man's best friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of in the same vein as Doug, we're going to go with Mater from Cars. He's just kind of like... kind of idiot sidekick that's there. You get some good guffs out of what he's doing. Tractor tipping, always great. So he teaches Lightning McQueen how to drive in reverse, which becomes a pretty valuable skill for him when he's trying to win the Piston Cup. So you could say that he was honestly a mentor to a racing king as well. So yeah, just great guy all around.
Fair points.
I'm a Mater fan.
Yep.
And I'll stick with Cars, and I'll go with Sally.
Joey, come on.
I mean, like,
it's a car.
Lightning McQueen,
it's a car.
Lightning McQueen likes her tailpipe, and I mean, what's not to like about her?
Bonk. Jesus.
I wonder where Joey's last pick is going to go.
There's a lot of options.
I think what's the stereotype that Joey's been choosing to this point?
I hope it's not Miss Incredible's daughter.
You might be surprised. Why not?
She's under 18.
Are you sure? By now, she's certainly not.
That just feels like a water that we should avoid.
Yes.
You guys brought it up.
I know Luke did, not me.
My next pick, I'm going to go with Sully from Monsters, Inc.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, thank you. So Mike Wazowski is a punk-ass bitch.
What? I like Mike. Yeah, come on.
You remember?
I was actually prepared to take Mike Wazowski.
No. Because remember, there was he wanted to, what did he want to do with the kid? I can't even
send
remember.
It back because he wanted to be a responsible adult.
No,
give the kid back to her parents.
Whatever, we're sticking with Sully.
I like Sully. No argument here. Yeah. I will not stand for Mike's slander, though.
My last pick. I'm going to go. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm going to go with Guido from Cars. Yeddo, he's the guy who changes the guy who changes the tires.
Wow, that's a random deep cut,
dude. Yeah, he was Guido. A G. How? What is it, Sin?
I think it's Guido.
He was a badass.
I respect it. I don't respect the amount of whiteness that you have that you can't even say his name.
Joey, how would you spell or say it?
I don't even know how it's spelled.
G-U-I-D-O.
I don't know. Maybe if you actually liked him that much, you would remember from the movie.
I remembered him being a straight-up badass.
He's got a point.
Shut up. All right. Joey, last pick.
All right. Last pick. I'm going The Incredibles. I'm going Boo. I'm just kidding. I'm going to go with the mutant spider baby toy from Toy Story 1 that ends up also being a G.
Oh, I got you. Mm-hmm. Crawls out from under the bed of, what's the kid's name? Not Andy.
Sid, yeah.
Yeah, ends up being real friendly. Actually, they all do. Because, you know, it's. I think that was trying to send the message that don't judge people by how they look.
That was very progressive.
Fun fact, Sid made a toy that's a hooker in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the literally one with the legs.
Like women's legs, and then it's a fucking claw on top of her.
Man, that's subliminal messaging, I tell you what.
Fucking Disney.
Can't watch it.
They'll get you.
All right, Sin.
All right. We're going to go, for my final pick, we're going to go with Wally from Wally. Because he's out there literally trying to save our planet, okay? Everybody else has deserted him. He's out there grinding day in and day out, cleaning up trash, making friends with a little cockroach, and then he finds a plant. Turns out, boom, there's life on the planet again. Then he has to fight tooth and nail against the fucking autopilot on the big old spaceship to make sure that he doesn't kill it so that people can't come back to Earth again. Wally was a dude.
I have never seen it. Never seen that.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks for explaining the plot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just gave you like a 10-second plot of that movie.
That was at least 20.
Sounds thrilling. I like it. Any honorable mentions? I'm a little surprised Joey didn't mention the chick from Incredibles 1, who's a bad lady at first.
Oh, yeah.
The baddie.
The blonde girl.
You only get so many picks.
You took a car, Joey. You literally took
you
a car.
You took a truck.
Joey
took a car based on it being sexy.
I didn't say it based on anything. You guys are putting words in my mouth.
Joey
you literally said...
I didn't say anything about the car. I said because Lightning McQueen likes her tailpipe, and I told you I respect Lightning McQueen. So
he took three.
We can see through that, Joey.
He took
we
three semi-sexual characters and a mutant spider thing.
All right, for my honorable mentions, I had Edna Mode.
Yeah.
And the little green aliens from Pizza Planet.
Oh yeah,
jeez.
Stan,
you got any honorable mentions? I got three.
Bullseye.
Ooh yeah, solid. Just like Doug, kinda, you know. I got Slinky Dog and Ham from Toy Story. Just a couple
pretty
of
funny.
Dudes, you know. Regular dudes, and then I got Squirt, Crush's turtle friend. But I ended up going with Crush instead, you know.
I believe it's his son, I think. It's gotta be.
Or his grandson? Yeah. I don't know.
Sea turtles live for a long time, Luke. I think it's just his son.
Okay, Stan. Jesus.
Get it right.
Alright, so no honorable mentions from you?
Remy from Ratatouille.
That's a good one. I thought about putting him on there.
Yeah.
I've only seen that once in my life.
He's out here just like challenging stereotypes that society place on people. So
just chefing.
Yeah. All he's trying to do is make some good food.
And he's being responsible about it too, because obviously you can't have mice cooking. So he has
Joey, he's a rat, not a mouse.
Well,
get it straight.
Okay, so great, even better. We don't want the plague going around, so he can't be cooking. So we got him. We got him fucking making this one. Yeah, what's his name?
Linguini.
Yeah,
that's his name.
Yeah.
Jesus. All right. So nothing else, right? Any other?
No.
Football, basketball, life notes you want to throw out there? Three,
no,
two, one. All right. Well, we'll wrap up. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Hawkeye Tailgate Report, everybody. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podbean. You can follow it on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Twitter and Instagram is HTR_pod. Just give us a search on Facebook. Our personal Twitters are Myers_Luke, JoeMama2196, and MyersAustin. We're on a little bit of a winning train right now. Hopefully we can keep it going through Thanksgiving and finish out 2022 strong. Thanks for listening, everybody. And as always, go Hawks.